actually last week. Go to Psalm 46 with me. Psalm 46. The psalmist writes and says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's pray together. Father, we are privileged to be able to come together this morning. We thank you, Father, for the freedom, the liberty that we have to gather in this place today. For the rights we have in our nation to worship you without fear of reprisal. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for being with us here today. And we trust, God, that you're going to encourage us in this hour as you speak to us through the words of Scripture and the word of your Spirit today, Lord, as you minister to our hearts. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, and a heart that will trust and believe in you today. And I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Continuing our message from last week where we talked about the presence of the Lord and reminding ourselves of the reality of the presence of God with us all the time, everywhere, no matter what kind of circumstances we may find ourselves going through. The Bible teaches us, and what God is wanting to reveal to us through all of this is that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, that God is with us and we are not alone. And so the whole point of this message is just to remind us of this truth and encourage us to a God consciousness, if you will, to begin to practice an awareness of the presence of God all the time. Because I think we've bought into a lie, just as people, we've bought into a lie that there is this disconnect and this distance between us and God, and that we are here on the planet and we are on the earth and God is... Well, he's out there somewhere. We're not sure exactly where. But he's out there somewhere and he sees very little and he cares even less. And the Bible wants us to understand that God is always with us no matter what obstacles we're facing, whatever difficulties we're going through, no matter whatever happens in our lives. Now, after this past week, a lot of people question whether or not God is really always with us. Is God really always there? When you have storms like we had in our area this past week and the destruction that came as a result of it. Or last Sunday, I didn't even realize until after the message, I was told after the message of the tragedy, the atrocity that happened down in Orlando last weekend with the murder of all of those people. And people will ask the question, how could all of this happen? If God is really with us all the time. And what we always forget is that the world that you and I live in is a fallen world that is controlled by evil. And God never anywhere promises in the Bible that if you come to Him, You'll never have any more troubles after that. In fact, look at the first verse that we just read out of the Psalm here this morning, Psalm 46. Let me read it to you and see if your Bible reads this way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help, and therefore there will be no trouble. Is that what your Bible says? I bet it doesn't. It says a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. Listen, guys, there's going to be trouble in this lifetime. Just write it down. That's just a fact of being a human being on this planet, a member of a fallen race of people, in a world ruled by the enemy. Bad things are going to happen. We read the scripture in Isaiah last week where God says through the prophet, he says, when you pass through the fire, when you go through the river, he didn't say, I'm going to be with you and blow the fire out, and there's never going to be any more floods, there's never going to be any more rivers. No, he said, these things are just a reality. They are a part of the world in which you live, but take courage, because when you go through them, I will be there with you. And that's the promise of the Lord, to be there with us, to be our strength, to be our hope, to be our security during the difficult times of life. We read some scripture last week. David told us in Psalm 139, David said this. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I get away from your presence? If I go to the highest heights, you're there. If I go to the deepest depths of the sea, God, you're still there. In other words, there isn't any place you can go where you can get away from the presence of God. You can always be sure, no matter what you're going through and what you're facing, God is there with you. Now, I talked to a person this week, and, the comment was made was, sometimes it's just hard to believe. And I get that. I really do. I get that. It's hard to always believe that God is with you, especially when God's not speaking, when God's not doing what you and I think he ought to do. It's hard to believe that God is still there. But the question with God is always still, will you trust me no matter what you're going through? And that's what God is looking for out of you and I today. God is looking for a people who will trust him no matter what. No matter what. And God will, in fact, show himself strong as he chooses. And God will speak. I told this person, I said, listen, just because you don't hear God, just because you don't see God, doesn't mean God's not there. I said, when God is ready to speak, God will speak to you. You will hear the voice of the Lord. When God is ready to do something in your life, when the time is right, how many of you have figured out God's time and our time are rarely, if ever, the same? See, God's ways are higher than our ways, the Bible tells us. God has a better way. Well, we think we got it all figured out, don't we? We think we know how it ought to go. And then God turns around and does it completely different. And it is so much more awesome than anything we could have ever imagined. And sometimes, we probably ought to just fall down and just thank God and say, God, I am so glad you didn't do what I was asking you to do in my life. Because what you did was so much bigger and so much better because you are so awesome. We're reminding ourselves of the continuing presence of the Lord, that God is always with us, that no matter what we're going through, God is there for us. And we mentioned just a couple of examples, and these always come to mind when I start talking about the presence of the Lord, and God is always with us. And we talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all these guys in the Old Testament and the things that they went through. And even in the midst of the trials and struggles that they went through, man, God just showing up. God showing up. These guys were all, by the way, in the book of Daniel, all of these guys are taken into captivity, even though for the most part, they themselves, I'm speaking of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys were living pretty decent lives. But because they lived among a nation of rebels, they were deported like everybody else and taken into Babylonian captivity. And yet, even in that place of captivity, God raised them up. God blessed them and strengthened them. God brought them to positions of power and honor because they continued to honor and trust the Lord in spite of where they were. The three refused to bow their knee to Nebuchadnezzar when he made this statue and said, when the music sounds, everybody needs to fall down and worship me. And you know, back in those days, just like in our days, there were compromisers in those days. And they didn't want to look like they were falling down. And they actually had this thing, where when the music sounded, they said, we're not going to really bow down, but what we're going to do is we're going to kneel down and tie our shoes. So we're not really bowing down, but it'll look like we're bowing down, and that way it won't be any problem for us. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not even going to tie our shoes. We're not going to bow down when the music sounds. Well, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar got raging mad at these three and said, I'm going to throw you in a furnace. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to have the music sound. You bow down and you can go your way. If not, I'm throwing you into a fiery furnace. And they said, King, just take your best shot. We're not bowing down to you no matter what you do, no matter what you say. And so he throws them into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked over into the furnace and he could see them walking around in the fire. Only when he looked over in there, he said, guys, didn't we throw three men into that fire? They said, oh, yes, King, there were three of them. The king said, well, I see four men. They're walking around in the fire, and one of them looks like the Son of God. I tell you, they found God in the midst of the fiery furnace. And God will be with us when we go through the fire if we'll just keep trusting in the Lord, if we'll just keep our attention on God. Peter found God in prison. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12 that Herod, the ruler of that region, had James, the brother of John, arrested. And he beheaded him. It was the first apostle who became a martyr for the cause of Christ. And he had James beheaded. And when Herod saw that the Jews were pleased by it, he arrested Peter and intended to do the same thing to Peter. And he was going to take his head off too. The Bible says that the night before he was to be beheaded, Peter was asleep in the cell. Now that got my attention when I read that this man on the night before he was sentenced to die is asleep in the jail cell. I don't know about you. I think if I knew I was going to die the next day, I'd have a little trouble going to sleep. But Peter was asleep. How does Peter sleep? Here's the picture, brother and sister. It is the rest of faith. Remember when the disciples were on the lake and in the boat and the storm came and Jesus was in the boat with them and they're freaking out because of the storm? And the Bible says they found Jesus asleep on the boat cushion. Jesus had already said, guys, we're going to the other side of the lake. And once he said what he intended to do, he just went to sleep and let the storm happen. Storm didn't bother him. He slept through it. See, I could afford to sleep through some of the storms that I've been through in my life. So he slept through the storm. Peter is asleep. How does Peter sleep under the threat of death? Well, Jesus had already told him. In John, the last chapter of the book of John, Peter had already told him that the day will come when you will be arrested and you will be stretched out and you will give your life for me. But listen, he told him, he says, when you get old, these things will happen to you. And I guess Peter figured he just wasn't old enough yet. So he laid down and went to sleep in that jail and slept. And did you know the Bible says that the angel of the Lord showed up in that jail cell and woke Peter up? When he did, the chains fell off of him. He woke Peter up and he had to tell Peter to get dressed. And as they got up and headed out of the jail, the doors of the cell opened up. They go down the hall, the gates of the jail open up. They walk out into the streets of the city, and the angel disappears. The Bible says the whole time Peter thought it was a dream. It was a good one. This is a good dream. I'm getting out of here. But he wakes up in the streets of Jerusalem, and he realizes it wasn't a dream. God has set him completely free. Peter met God. Peter met God and had an experience with God in that jail cell. God will show up. When God wants to do something, listen, there isn't anything in heaven and earth that can stop God from doing what God wants to do when you and I will believe God to do it. See, when we will trust in the Lord, when we will give our hearts to God, when we will let Him have control, there isn't anything, anybody that can do to stop what God wants to do. Speaking of meeting somebody in the jail cell, I read and was reminded this past week of back in my day, there was a mass murderer in New York. Do you remember the name of the Son of Sam? Any of you older folks remember Son of Sam? This was a man who obviously had a lot of problems. He talked to dogs. They talked back to him, and drugs and the occult and all this kind of stuff. And he was killing people in New York. This is back in the late 70s. Late 80s, he claimed to come to know Christ. And of course, you know, everybody in jail comes to know Christ, right? But this is a man since 1987 has faithfully served the Lord Jesus Christ in prison. He calls himself now the Son of Hope. Son of Sam became a son of God. And now he's a son of hope. And for the last two or three decades, he has actually run a prison ministry from inside the prison. And he ministers to the prisoners there in his prison and leads them to Christ and leads Bible studies and encourages the other people in the prison and things like that. For the last 15 years, I guess, he became eligible for parole. It was 2002. And every other year, he is eligible for parole. And every other year, they cancel his parole hearings. Not because they realize he's not qualified, but because he refuses to go. He knows what he did. He has owned and taken responsibility for his actions. He has been a model prisoner for 20, 30 years in this prison, leading people to Christ. This man is more free in prison than a lot of people are who are walking outside of prisons today. He met God in prison. God changed his life. I tell you, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted. In Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Bible said he's near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. That is, from a sincere heart of faith and hope and expectation in God. And David tells us, of course, in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, he says. He says, I don't even fear death, God, because I know that you are with me wherever I am. And Psalm 16 and verse 11 tells us that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. God's presence is with us always. His presence to us is strength and comfort and peace. His presence to us is joy and deliverance and power and blessing and salvation. So great was the joy and the comfort and the peace of the presence of the Lord on the life of Moses that Moses chose to live. Moses said, I will choose to live in the desert if this is where you're going to be, as opposed to going into the promised land where you want to take us. He said, God, if you don't go, I don't want to go either. I'll stay right here in the desert with you, because living in the desert with you is better than living in the promised land without you. Years later, when Israel had inhabited the promised land, they rebelled against the Lord. A nation around them known as Midian, the Midianites, began to oppress the children of Israel. It's recorded in the book of Judges. And they cried out to the Lord under the weight of the oppression that had come upon them. The Midianites would make raids against their cities and just take whatever they needed. Every harvest, every time, man. They would go out and they would plant their crops and they would get everything ready and it looked like it's about ready to harvest. And just about the time the harvest came in, the Midianites would come in and just take everything that they had planted and leave them with nothing. The children of Israel cried out to God and God came. God came to visit them. And Gideon asked a question. He meets a man by the name of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And Gideon asked a question that everybody asked. Where have you been, God? Where were you, God? If you are really the God you're supposed to be, where are the miracles that our fathers told us about? Well, the Bible tells us in the preceding verses, the Bible tells us that the whole reason God had allowed this to happen was because the people of Israel had rebelled against God one more time. And brother and sister, isn't it interesting that we want to live a life of rebellion against God, but then expect God to show up when we need Him. We don't want to be faithful to God, but we expect God will be faithful, better be faithful to us. And brother and sister, I understand that God is sovereign, but you need to understand, but listen, things just don't work that way. God calls us to be faithful to Him. God calls us to be faithful to Him. God showed up. When the children of Israel cried out, God showed up. And He meets with Gideon and He says, Gideon, you're going to be the new deliverer of the nation of Israel. And you're going to set them free from the bondage of the Midianites. And Gideon said, whoa. He said, I'm not qualified to be the man that you're calling me to be. My family in Israel, they're the least of the least, and I'm the youngest and worst of them. I can't do it. How do you expect me, the nobody that I am, God, to go out and be the leader that you're calling me to be and to set this nation free? Are you kidding me? And God said this. Here's the promise God made to Gideon. He says this. Very simple. He says this. He says, Gideon, I will be with you. The presence of God made all the difference. The presence of God with Moses made all the difference. Moses himself complained about being the deliverer of Israel when he went down to Egypt. He said, God, I just can't talk. I'm not qualified. And God said, I will be with you. Brother and sister, God is our sufficiency. He is all we need and more than enough. God is always with us. God is always with us. And the truth of the matter is, God is in reality what our hearts long for. Now it takes a while for some of us to figure that out. But the reality is that every single human being was created to have an intimate relationship with God. And when a person doesn't, that person will sense there's something missing in my life. There's something not right. There's something missing in my heart. There's something missing in my life. And until that person finds God, they'll continue to feel empty. They will continue to feel like something is missing in their lives. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us, Solomon tells us that God has put eternity in our heart. God has put eternity in our heart so that we are drawn to the things of God. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7 says this. Speaking of the Lord, of Messiah, it says this. It calls Him this. He is the desire of nations. Wow. God is what our heart longs for. God is what we crave and what we need in our lives. St. Augustine in the 4th and 5th century made this comment. He says, God, he says, you have created us for yourself. And our hearts will be restless till they find their rest in you. Only in God will our heart find rest. And the good news is that God is here for us all. His presence is here for us all. And God wants to minister life to us by His continual presence with us. The first catechism I ever learned many years ago was this. The chief end of man is to love God and enjoy Him forever. This is why we exist, brother and sister, for communion with God and to love God and enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. Look at Psalm 84 with me, if you would, please. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is here. God is with you today. God is always with us. And we need to develop that God consciousness and remind ourselves continually that God is with us. Psalm 84. 12 verses that say this. How lovely are your dwelling places. And this speaks of where God dwells. This is the presence of the Lord. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. The dwelling place of God. My heart hungers for your presence, God. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I like that verse 2 and 3 talking about the, he said, even the birds, even these little insignificant animals are welcome in the presence of the Lord. And God has a dwelling place for them all. And Jesus says, if God cares about the sparrow, how much more does He care for you and I? See? So if the presence of the Lord is for these, how much more is the presence of the Lord for you and I who are made in His image? How blessed are those, verse 4, who dwell in your house, who dwell in your presence. They are ever praising you. Look, drop down verse 10 with me real quickly. Listen to this. The psalmist says, for a day in your courts. Again, that's the presence of the Lord. He says, for a day in your presence is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in You. Look at verse 10 again. He says, a day in Your presence is better than 1,000 outside. Being with You, God, is 1,000 times better than not. 1,000 times better being with You, dwelling with You in Your presence. It's why the psalmist says in Psalm 27, if I can find that real quick for you. Psalm 27. Verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place of His tent He will hide me, He will lift me up on a rock. He said that the one thing in this whole world that I want is to dwell in the presence of God, to be with the Lord my God. His presence is everything, brother and sister. His presence is life to you and I. His presence meets all of our needs. And you and I were created to dwell continually in the presence of the Lord. And can I take it even a step further than that today? Even beyond you and I dwelling in the presence of the Lord and encountering God in communion and in fellowship with the Lord, not only are we to dwell in the presence of the Lord, but the presence of the Lord, God intends for the presence of the Lord to live in us, to live in you and I. Let me read these scriptures from the New Testament very quickly for you. From the Gospel of John. John writes this in John chapter 14. This is the night that Jesus is preparing His disciples for His departure, for He will in moments, in just a few hours, be arrested and then the next day crucified. And in preparation for all that His disciples are going to be facing, Jesus is preparing them for His departure. And He writes this in John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I will, and you understand, if you understand the heart of these disciples, This precious man that they have walked the earth with, who has blessed them, who's taken care of them, they have seen mighty miracles happen at His hands, who they believe to be their Messiah and their Savior and their Deliverer, and who they expect and intend to live forever with. All of a sudden, He has started saying, guys, we're going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. And it's just thrown them for a loop, and they don't get it, and they don't understand the plan of God. Just like you and I often don't understand what God is up to. And so in preparing them for His departure, in their confusion, He says to them, verse 16, John chapter 14, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. The word another there is a word that says, that means another just like me. And my Bible calls Him a helper, and your Bible may call Him a comforter, but who we're talking about here is God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling His disciples, when I leave, I promise I will send back the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father. The Father is in me, and I in you. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him. There's the presence of the Lord. And we will make our abode with him. Jesus says, we will come to you, and we will dwell in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm running out of time. Let me do these real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you can find that too. Ephesians chapter 2, find those real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm all thumbs here this morning. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul speaks to the Corinthian believers, writes to the Corinthian believers, he says this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then from the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading all these scriptures. All of these scriptures tell us the same thing. We are the dwelling place of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, just as surely as we are to expect that God is with us all the time, you and I need to understand that as believers, that the God of the universe is not only with us, but the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us. We are the temple of the living God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 says, so then we are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You and I have been made to be the house of God, our heart, God's home. 1 Peter chapter 2 says we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that Christ is faithful over his house, whose house we are. Here's my point, brother and sister. Wrap the whole thing up. Far from this virtual disconnect that most of us have accepted as truth, that we are here and God is off out there somewhere. Far from that, God is not only with us, but if we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of the living God dwells within us. Our heart has become the home of the Spirit of the living God. And all of the promises, all of the blessings associated with the presence of the Lord, every one of those blessings and promises has become ours through the presence of the Spirit of the Lord who dwells within us. We carry with us the presence of God everywhere we go. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, a treasure in an earthen vessel. The promise to us is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the counselor. He is the advocate. He is the helper. He is the comforter. He is the teacher. He is the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of wisdom and the glory of God. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is rivers of living water. He is oil of gladness. He is winds of refreshing. He is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. He is the Spirit of the bridegroom who longs to lavish love upon his bride, the church. He is the Spirit of the living God, the presence of Almighty, dwelling in our hearts. He is not far off as we might suppose, but he lives within us that we might enjoy him forever. And if you and I will embrace the Spirit of God, we will experience the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord in all of his fullness. That'll be our message to you next Sunday morning. Embracing God's Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your presence with us here in this place right now. For you said that where two or three gathered together in your midst, that you are among them. And so we thank you for your presence with us here today. And Father, there are no doubt some of us here today who have wondered where you went. And we have not sensed your presence, and we have not seen your hand, and we have not heard your voice for some time. But Father, we declare the certainty of the Scriptures today that though we may not feel you or hear you or see you with our eyes, we believe you are here with us today. Thank you for that. Thank you for being the very present help in time of trouble that we need for you to be in our lives. Thank you for watching over us this past week and taking care of us. Thank you for being our strength and our wisdom moving forward to know what we need to do, to know what your plans and purposes are. Thank you for your Spirit who dwells within us today, the living presence of God dwelling in our heart, the new temple, the new Jerusalem of Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Your word even declares to us, Father, that even when we are faithless, you are still faithful because you cannot deny yourself. Thank you for your faithfulness to us today, Lord. We look to you. We look to you today, Father. And we make a choice. We say, thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you, God, for the plan that you have for us. Thank you, God, that as we draw near to you, you're drawing near to us. And your plans and your purposes will be fulfilled through us and for us for your glory's sake. Because you are a good and faithful God. So we thank you in advance for all that you're doing and will do to provide for us, to meet our needs, and glorify yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just want to thank you right now for a church family that is willing to step up and to be your hands and your feet and your arms to reach out to those of our community and our world that need to know you. Thank you, Father, that because your presence dwells in us, we can be your presence to the world. Help us to be about that business for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Bless you, Father. Just feel like I need to read it one more time. Don't ever believe the lie that God has forgotten you or God has forsaken you. That is just not true. That is just not true. God is that very present help in time of trouble, and God is there for you no matter what you're going through today. Expect something good from God in your life. Expect God to do something awesome on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Father, you've stirred our hearts today. As we've seen in the example of Scripture, the many times and the many ways you showed up and you showed out and you demonstrated yourself. God, we know the promises are there. All of the promises are yes and amen to those who are in Christ. And we know the promises are for us today, Lord. And so we expect, because you're so good and you're faithful, we expect that you will do something awesome in our lives. And we thank you in advance for it. And so, Father, I commit this church family into your hands today. As they leave this place today, God, my prayer, that they go away from here today, Lord, with their hearts lifted up, with their heads lifted up, with their eyes lifted to you, with expectation, with love, with faith, with joy, and with great anticipation of seeing and experiencing the goodness of God in their lives. And we will sing your praises forever because of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. We're going to sing and be dismissed this morning an appropriate song as we sing every week. We sing about the presence of the Lord, and nothing more appropriate than this song to go with this message. If we can pray with you personally about anything going on in your life, please stick around and let us know. And we'll minister personally to you as you have need today in prayer. Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning, all right? In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. And if we can minister to you personally in any way, please let us know how.